Listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying: conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, Let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today, a good weekend, a very good weekend. Hoping, too, the weather will be accommodating for you to enjoy it. But, of course, if it is not, then it has to, things got to get done, and they must get done because they will get done because you'll make sure they get done. That's right. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. There will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother and friend, Brother Kwaku. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, once again, Monday and Wednesday. Once again, it's our program, of course, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. Our story, Monday and Wednesday, our story from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. with Baba Wes Johnson and Brother Johnny out of New Orleans. Our story. Thursdays from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club on Thursday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. On Friday, if it's Friday, today is Friday, so when 8 p.m. comes up, that's right, it'll be time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, 8 p.m. today. On Sunday at 5 p.m., from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan, from 5 to 6 p.m. And then at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. August 7th. Stand on your own 2 feet. Stand on your own 2 black feet and fight like hell for your place in the world. Amy Jacques Garvey. We are not them. We cannot be them without losing sanity. No one can be African and European because our ways are irreconcilably incompatible. Not even amalgamation can change that. Our way is and has been and always will be African, purely African. This is what we stand for. This is what we fight for. This is what we live for. And this is what we will die for. So, we cannot ask ourselves the mental question others put in our minds. We cannot seriously ask ourselves irrelevant questions or believe answers which lead to forgetfulness. Our questions must always lead us home. For how can you find your way home by forgetting your way home? How can you find your way home by forgetting how you got to where you are now? How can you find your way home without figuring out how you got lost in the first place? Unless you see home as some backward, barbaric, pagan, outland, or limited to the place your stolen ancestors were brought to, you must look further than the deception of white lies to find our truth. Affirm, I am always and always will be African. Ashe, I am and always will be African. August 8th. Now was the time for us to come together with one another, to organize and to speak out, and to speak up on behalf of each other. There is no time to waste. While we debate, define, and discuss, the enemy continues his genocidal plan. Mutulu Shakur. Ancestor Mutulu Shakur. A secret is a secret. If you have one, no one knows you have it. Some warriors have been so accepting of their westernized socialization that makes them need to consistently be seen and heard that it virtually impossible for them to keep a secret. Secrets win and lose wars. Unbeknownst to some of us, attention is not what African warrior scholars need. In fact, if the truth be told, in this reality, that is the last thing that serious warrior scholars need. Guerrilla warriors thrive on the secrecy that camouflage quickly gives. An Ethiopian proverb says that confiding a secret to an unworthy person is like carrying grain in a bag with a hole. We have to know who we are talking to and when not to talk, no matter who we are conversing with. Enemies of righteous soldiers are required for wars that return people's peace and bring order to the world. They bring order to the world. Such armies have to be built. They do not magically appear, and recruits are not summoned in the public court. Our position must not remain a public spectacle. Ashe. Affirm, I do not seek out attention from unworthy persons. Affirm, I do not seek out attention from unworthy persons. August 9th. Jegna. Jegnat, plural form. Jegna, Jegnak, plural form. Are those special people who have, one, been tested in struggle or battle, two, demonstrate extraordinary, unusual fearlessness, three, shown determination and courage in protecting his or her people and land and culture. Four, shown diligence and dedication to our people. Five, produced an exceptionally high quality of work. Six, dedicated themselves to the protection of defense, nurturance, and development of our young by advancing our people, place, and culture. Nana Kwaku Boke, Dr. Wade Nobles. Dr. Wade Nobles. In Greek mythology, Mentor is the adult male whom Odysseus, the protagonist in the Odyssey, trusted to raise and protect his son, Telemachus, as he traveled the world in search of adventure. Mentor, however, apparently had plans that went far beyond the mere development of Telemachus' cognitive skills. His intention, as a Greek, were naturally homosexual. Historically, in European culture, when boys or girls are left in the hands of adult males or females, they become their sexual victims. And this is what makes using the Greek term mentor extremely problematic for Africans seeking to maintain a heterosexual sanity. We give power to others and their way when we use their culturally particular terminology to define ourselves. Those we honor, and by default, there in our own actions in the performance of those roles. So Africans should use the term Jegna or Jegnak in plural. They should use the term Jegna, not mentor. They should use the term Jegna, not mentor, when honoring those particular Africans who unselfishly put so much of their energy into training our youth to be adult warrior scholars. Affirm, I am a Jegna. Affirm, I am a Jegna. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sisim of Daily Revolutionary Thought.
Man, the Inyasa Sim was on time, wasn't it? All three of them. All 3 days. Yeah. And it's, you know, I sometimes sit in the audience and I hear the word mentor being used. I have in the past, and I may continue to do so, you know, state that we should not use the word mentor, and we definitely should not use the word mentor. This is what is written. This is the history of the Iliad. This is the history. This is the history of the Greeks. They have paintings and statues of pedophilia, of homosexuality. We should not use any damn thing that is European. Everything that we do, it should be African as possible. Everything. So we definitely should
this
not
this call may be recorded or transcribed.
Mentor. We should definitely not use mentor. We should use Jagna. And a group of Jagnas is plural, is Jagnak. There is a word, I can't think of the word. I saw it that is a is the word that the Jagna, the young people that they work with. There's a word for that, and I should write stuff down. I know my lady tells me all the time, I should write stuff down. Because right now I didn't know this is the Inyasa Sim that I would be dealing with. It'll be great to have that word. Man. But yeah, there is a word, you know, that is our word for those young people who are being educated, who are being guided, who are being. So anyway, we've got a good program today. This is just going to go on what people send me, you know, because I get all kind of stuff in all kinds of ways, you know, a lot of good stuff that we could play and have discussion on. And so basically today is, I didn't put it down as an open mic Friday or Yo Show Friday or what's on your mind, as I title those things. But if that's what you want to do, you know. I'd like for you as our listeners, if we would be a warrior, because I consider those who listen to this program, you know, as warriors. No, not in the sense that, you know, of the young people that we need to be warriors, but who's ever young or who's ever my age or older or just slightly past that age of 40s, 50s, that's what I'm talking about. But you're still warriors, because this is a battle that we're in. And to me, by you listening to this program, you understand that battle that we're in. And so you're a warrior. And we need warriors. We need brothers and sisters to step up. That's right. To step up. So I'm going to do that. Read some things or play some things that I really do get a lot from when I'm, Yeah. So, messing around here thinking, what should I play first? And
you should have did that when you was practicing, you know, when you was bringing the stuff up. That's what you should have did. Okay, I know what I should have did.
Okay, let me tell you what I'm going to do. Stop messing with me. Well, you know, get a beat down. There's a sister that um, this sister's outstanding. She the sisters I'm trying to, but she, you probably seen her, nice looking sister. She wears her hair in long or braids, and she deals with a number of topics, and I believe she's mostly seen and heard on, you know. Here's a piece that she did on Stand Your Ground. There's so many pieces that she did on various topics that more that are more contemporary. And of course, you know, Stand Your Ground, you know. And to me, she deals with these topics from an African perspective. From an African perspective. You know. She's not somebody who's trying to, you know, gain favor or be more totally included. No, she does it from an African perspective. This is one she had on, I'm going to come back to her because I got to get her information for this sister because she's on YouTube, you know. She's on Instagram too. Yeah. And I have kept some of her stuff and played some of her stuff before, you know. Yeah. She's definitely worthy of the attention that she gets. And I wish that more people had knowledge of her. And, yeah. So I'm trying to find another once I can get her name. Okay, let me go ahead and play this one for you, family. And so check this out.
Since day one, the laws were never written to protect you. They were written to protect the people profiting off of your silence. When enslaved people fought off their beatings, that's not self-defense. That's rebellion. When indigenous people fought for their land, that's not self-defense either. That's savage warfare. When Mexican families refused to be erased after the U.S. redrew the border, that's not self-defense. That's insurrection. Survival is only noble if you were born with the right skin tone and the right bloodline. So if you fast forward to today, Stand Your Ground laws sound neutral, right? You can defend yourself wherever you legally are. But if that were the truth, then why do the numbers tell a different story? These are the stats that they don't want you to know about. White defendants who unalive black victims in Stand Your Ground states are 281% more likely to be found justifiable rather than if the victim was white. In Florida alone, studies found that when the shooter is white and the victim is black, the case is 11 times more likely to be ruled justified. Black defendants who claim Stand Your Ground, they're twice as likely to be convicted compared to white defendants. In cases not clear, their fear is considered reasonable. Our survival is considered criminal. Trayvon Martin wasn't carrying a weapon. Jordan Davis was playing music. Renisha McBride was asking for help. They didn't break the law. They broke the fantasy. The fantasy that fear is innocent. The fantasy that rights are equal. The fantasy that survival isn't color-coded. Because if the law really cared about survival, we'd all still be breathing. Self-defense in America is not about safety. It's about permission. Permission to live. Granted to some, denied to others. The law doesn't ask what happened. The law asks who's breathing. And if you were born on the wrong side of history, you were never supposed to survive the fear that they invented specifically for you. They told you the law would protect you. They just didn't say whose life the law was built to protect you from.
Love this sister. She has a number of these. And you've probably seen her. Ashley Marinus. That's the sister. Yeah. She is outstanding. And this one particular piece, Ashley Marinus. is on Stand Your Ground. But there's so many others that she produces. Like I said, I think that you'll see them in Instagram and other posts. You know? Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. The fact that that's what happened. So let me try to find that one on statistics that...
who made black struggle policy. Economist Dr. William Darity crunched the numbers.
Well, here...
Every time we say reparations, somebody panics like we just asked for their entire inheritance. But here's the truth. This country has already paid reparations. Just not to us. And not just once. Multiple times. So... let's stop acting brand new. Reparations are not about guilt. They are about debt. America's been in the red with black folks for over 400 years. And it's not just slavery either. It's everything after. Stolen wages, stolen land, the GI Bill we were locked out of, the homes we weren't allowed to buy, the neighborhoods we were pushed out of. My grandparents in Virginia had a big house. They built something themselves. They held it down. But do you know what's there now? A highway. Because the government decided that their land was disposable, but convenient for development. And we're just one black family amongst many more. Reparations is not some favor. It's the bare minimum for a country who made black struggle policy. Economist Dr. William Darity crunched the numbers. To close the black to white wealth gap today, 14 to 17 trillion. That's just to bring us even. Not ahead, just even. So let's compare. Iraq and Afghanistan wars, $6 trillion. 2008 bank bailout, $700 billion. COVID-era PPP loans, over $800 billion. And most people haven't even paid that back. Congress. So don't tell me we can't afford it. This country finds money for war, for Wall Street, and corporate tax cuts on command. It just doesn't want to write us into the budget. And it's not just checks. Though, let's be real, for many families, that's exactly what it should be. It could look like cash payments like the Japanese Americans received, interest-free home loans for the black folks that were locked out of generational wealth, student debt cancellation or free college at public HBCUs, land returns for families displaced by urban renewal, tax credits or guaranteed income based on ancestry. And miss me with the, how do we prove who qualifies? This country tracks ancestry just fine when it wants to. Native enrollment, Holocaust reparations, the 9/11 Victims Fund. The issue isn't logistics, it's politics. Because if we got what we were actually owed, we'd stop scraping to survive. We'd have what they always feared. Wealth, stability, ownership, power. We wouldn't need to ask for a seat at the table. We'd be flipping tables and buying the building. Reparations would not destroy America. They'd reveal it. They'd show who got rich off of stolen land. Who passed down trust funds built on unpaid labor? Who inherited freedom while we inherited cleanup? So yeah, reparations would change everything. And maybe it's time something finally did.
Ashe. Ashley the Baroness. And if you go to Ashley the Baroness, and there's so many topics that she has at least about, I'd say, 50, these, maybe 40 of these. Little vignettes, and they're just on point like you wouldn't believe. Yeah. Love her spirit, love her commentary. She's on point. Yeah.
Somebody that you
yeah, so. Oh, man. And so you can write her, Ashley Baron. B-A-R-R-O-N, Ashley Baron, the Baroness, to get her commentaries. They're on point. I love them. Okay. Let's go back here and find what I, some of the things that I wanted to play for you. I know my lady sent me a bunch of stuff that I definitely want to play for you. Let me throw this at you. You know, it's going to be kind of hodgepodge, but let me just throw this at you. This is General Flynn. And what he's saying about the October 7 piece, this was a setup. And I knew that. I said that. Because I don't trust the European Jews. At all. At all. This was a setup. And then, so now, Netanyahu said, we're just going to take Gaza. We're going to displace these Palestinians, and we're going to take Gaza. There is no more Palestinian. There is no two-state solution. There's none of that. Then we're going to take the West Bank. So all of what was formerly Palestine at the time in 1947, when the United States and Britain, England, I don't know, United Kingdom, what the hell, all these, so many damn names, when they did what they did, the Balfour Declaration, they did what they did, finally eliminates the Palestinians. I mean, if you looked at Palestine and what a wasteland that it is, they've been bombed so damn much, it's, man, ridiculous. I mean, it is really bad. But here's what Flynn had to say. And this is Alex Jones, too, so you know the conspiracies abound. But this is General Flynn as he talks about that day and how things, because Israel is particular. These European Jews who run everything, they're particular. They cross I's and dot T's as well as dot T's and cross I's. That's how serious they are. That's how meticulous they are. So to be caught off guard. Let you hear. And I'm playing this and I'm saying this to say, it makes it easy for those of us, not me, for those of us Africans to accept what these European Jews want to do.
Either Netanyahu was aware, and I I'm not going to allege that right now. His Southern Zone, and I have called for this, his Southern Zone commander, the commander of the IDF, and the commander or the leader of his intelligence forces, they should all be removed from those positions pending the outcome of a major serious investigation to determine what caused the breakdown of security on the 7th of October. Because now, fast forward to, you know, we're getting ready to go into the third month of this thing. Doesn't look like it has any happy ending, and it looks like it's going to go on and on. And we have all kinds of weapon systems being used against U.S. forces now throughout that region. So this thing is getting really bad, and it's because there was a decision made to have a security stand down on the 7th of October for 7 hours on the southern zone of Israel up against the fence line of Gaza Strip. And I'm telling you, folks, that wasn't done out of happenstance. That's not a coincidence. Somebody made that decision. Don't know whether it's Netanyahu that made it, his Southern Zone commander who made it. Somebody made it, because there's no way in the world for the security breakdown that the Israelis had on that day.
And General Flynn, you were telling me where he lunched that you've been there. You've been given tours. You've been up on the towers.
I've walked in. I know what their intelligence, I know what their security system is made of. And I know the levels that they go through. They have multiple layers of defenses. They have multiple layers of electronic detection systems. They have drones. They have balloons. They have people watching them from all sorts of cameras. It is one of the most secure borders in the world, if not the most secure.
So this is a major scandal.
Oh, it's a huge scandal. And that's why I say, like, we, you know, we've got to fight this war, and we've got to figure out, you know, we got to be very careful about we don't get dragged into something that we don't want. And there is a lot of people in Washington, D.C., the Uniparty, that wants us to just have this endless war where it's just a big racket of war, and they make a lot of money, and they make a lot of money off the U.S. taxpayers.
Where do people find your...
Either Netanyahu...
Yeah, they did this family. The Israel Defense Force did this. Netanyahu did this. It was planned. It was planned that that event... I'm not saying that the event itself was planned that way, but the event was planned for an attack. The event that was planned to be attacked. Yeah. So. Yeah. So it justifies. Yeah, it does. It justifies. The ends justifies the means, as they say, right? Yeah. The ends justifies the means. Yeah. Next month, family. Oh, boy, it's going to be serious next month. It's going to be serious next month. That is, of course, it's going to be September 11th. 9/11. The inside job that it is. I'm attacked at for at least 3 straight days of this program. I'm hoping that you will join me. Hoping that you will call in. Hoping that you have other stuff that you want to discuss as it relates to this day. So it's going to be serious. 9/11, the inside job that it is, it's going to be serious. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm still looking for a few things that I saw that, that fit into this thing, to some of the themes that I'm talking about today. And of course, if there's something that perks your curiosity that you want to talk about, bring it up. Bring it up. My lady sent me this particular piece on Stacey Abrams. I think it's very pointed. This is Stacey Abrams talking about the steps.
Can't let anybody else.
Nope. So. Okay, let me see if I can get this. Okay, here we go.
There's a 10-step plan, and we're at about step 9. So step 1, you have a free and fair election, but it's the last time. Because once that person wins, they don't intend to let anybody else or anyone else take the power that they have amassed for themselves or for their ticket. Second thing they do is that they exceed the realms of executive power. So you see a bunch of executive orders coming out claiming all kinds of powers that a president doesn't hold. Number 3, they then take the competing versions of power and try to either make them complicit or neuter them. So you have a Congress that basically has forgotten they got a job. And then you have a judiciary that...
Hold on, family. I'm going to play it again. This is what is happening, what has happening. There is no doubt about it, family. No doubt about it. This is fascism. This man. And this country's allowing it to happen. Allowing it to happen. They're trying to prosecute those Texas legislators. Trying to make them come back to Texas so they can vote, and the vote is already skewed. The vote is against them, that they're going to seriously gerrymander districts so they can have 5 Republican seats and hold power indefinitely. This is ridiculous. This is disgusting. But this is America. This is America. And America is about European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege. White supremacy. has been, is, and will be. And there ain't probably ain't a damn thing that we can do about it. And ain't a damn thing we should do about it, except for Exodus. You remember the program I did on Exodus, if you were a listener? That's what the program was about. It'll never happen here. So we have to prepare to get up out of here. Let me say this too. I want to say that the piece that I played on Ibrahim Traoré, of course, is a artificially intelligence designed piece, because that is not his voice. Those words spoken the way we're spoken in English is not his, but the spirit of what was said. That's why I was, you know, and I made a disclaimer Wednesday, you know, I did. And I will always do that when I know that's the case. So, you know, no, it's not him, but I made the disclaimer and I said, oh no, that's not his voice, but the spirit of it and the truth he speaks is on point. That's why, to me, if you get a chance to listen, go online, go to YouTube, put in Ibrahim Traoré's speech on One Africa, on African unity, United Africa, on United Africa. Okay? And so, no, this is Sister Stacey Abrams, the 10 points of fascism that is being done, that is being experienced, that is happening. I tell you, it is happening. Yep. Right in front of our eyes, right in front of our faces, it is happening. So I want you to listen carefully. And I want you, if you have something to say about it, you know, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives. And so, Stacey Abrams, she ran for governor at the time. And of course, the asshole governor, who was the attorney general who ran the election. I know, family, this is ridiculous, but that's who they are. Okay, they make it up as they go. All right. All right, family, here we go. Stacey Abrams.
And we're at about step 9. So step 1, you have a free and fair election, but it's the last time. Because once that person wins, they don't intend to let anybody else or anyone else take the power that they have amassed for themselves or for their ticket. Second thing they do is that they exceed the realms of executive power. So you see a bunch of executive orders coming out claiming all kinds of powers that a president doesn't hold. Number 3, they then take the competing versions of power and try to either make them complicit or neuter them. So you have a Congress that basically has forgotten they got a job. And then you have a judiciary that's either complicit or neutered. And it's neutered because if the president, if the executive refuses to follow the rules, then you've neutralized the judiciary because the judiciary doesn't actually have enforcement power. Number 4, you go after the media. With the media, you make sure that you demonize and criticize the legitimate media so that nobody trusts it. And then you create an echo chamber so that the only truth that people hear is the truth you want them to hear, even if it's not truth. Even if you put truth in the name, it's not true. Then you start to gut government. You fire all of the people who know how to do stuff. You break democracy by making people think they don't need it. And the best way to do that is to make sure that the things that they've learned to rely on are no longer available. Then you become the only way they get what they want. So you fire the CDC so that vaccine rates drop and the disease rises. You fire FEMA so that when there's a natural disaster, the only way you get what you need is by begging for it. So you gut the civil service so that no one can actually do the work that democracy is supposed to protect us for. At the same time, you hire a bunch of people that you call loyalists, and you put them in place so that they don't hire anybody who doesn't agree with you, but you also put them in positions of power. So then your next step is that you go after the people who do the good work. So you sue law firms. You sue philanthropies. Then step seven, you got to have someone to blame. They blamed everybody. They blamed women. They blamed children. They blamed people of color. They've blamed immigrants. They are doing all of that because they know at step seven, if you can push that forward, then we're fighting each other and fighting for survival instead of fighting for our country. And then you start to incentivize private violence. That's step nine. Maybe you send the National Guard and Marines and you militarize kidnapping people off of the streets, throwing them into detention camps, and then arresting people who dare to challenge you, calling any question obstruction of justice. Civic participation, the First Amendment, is the ninth category because if you can militarize your response, you also convince people it's not worth the possible pain of calling out the problems. And once you've gotten to step nine, step 10 is easy. You make sure no one ever votes again because now you've got them captive, now you've got them scared, now you've got them poor, and now you've got the power. That's autocracy in 10 steps. When autocrats come to...
Autocracy. It's like being a king, you know, and this is what he said before 2016. He admired Putin. He admired Erdogan. He admired those strong men. He wanted to be like them. He didn't want to be a president of the United States that Congress debates bills and then presents them to him and he signs them into law. No, he didn't want to be that. He wanted to be a dictator. Jokingly, I'm going to be a dictator on day one and I'm going to do this, that, and the other. And the foolish people, ignorant, stupid-ass people, you know, not on the part of those who constructed and put before him Project 2025. No, not them people. Because those people are the ones that wanted the control. Those are the people that are going to run it. Not Trump. Trump's an idiot. Trump is literally is an idiot. He don't know shit. He can't even. Trump is a flat, funky, stanky ass idiot. That's what he is. That's what he was. And that's what he is. But the people, not his sycophants, not MAGA, no. No, some of them are mad at him because they wanted him to do this, that, and the other, and he didn't do it. And he went back on some things that he said he was going to do in his campaign promises, and they meant so what? It ain't them. It's the people behind the oligarchs, the millionaires, the billionaires and the millionaires. Those are the real people behind what Donald Trump does and what he's going to do. Those are the real people. If you want to get into this conversation, anything you want to talk about, give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. These are some of the things that people send me. Some of this stuff is just outstanding. It really is. Some of this stuff is very deep. You know, and some people, you know, they can't deal with it, you know? Yeah. They can't deal with it. Yep. Yeah. Yep, I tell you. Stacey Abrams. That's a good piece. Wouldn't you agree? I think so. It's a very good piece. And as she's talking about it, you can see. As she's talking about it, you can see what's happening. You know? As she's talking about it, it every step that she says and how she says it, you can visualize what has happened. So yes, there are at step 10.
They're right there.
What they've been, you know, yeah. So, yeah, right before our eyes. There's so many amazing things that happen. You know, it really is. That we wouldn't see. But, you know, for me, the most amazing thing is what Ibrahim Traoré is actually doing. Not the artificial intelligence generated voice. But that piece is just powerful. Because what is being said is the spirit of what many of us, and myself particularly, would love to hear from an African leader. From an African leader. And what I'm hearing and seeing happening in this country is the reason why I want to hear it. I want it to happen. Because we got to get up out of here. This is madness. This is madness. Yeah. So. I'm going to try to find, there's a piece I want to play. And I'll try to find that when we come back from the break. You know. Because I get so much good stuff. I want to play this. This is really important because the reality of this piece is the fact that there is nothing we can do. There is no way in hell there will ever be this in this society run by these people that we will have justice, that we will have honesty, that we'll have integrity by the government, that we'll have equality, that we will have, just listen, family.
Does marriage close the racial wealth gap for Black Americans?
Apparently not. We know now that the average white family, that's a single parent family, has about two times the wealth of the average Black family that has two parents.
So cross that off.
Yeah.
Does going to college close the racial wealth gap for Black Americans?
Well, I'm definitely a fan of going to college, but it doesn't close the racial wealth gap. A Black head of household with a college degree has two-thirds of the net worth of a white head of household who never finished high school.
Cross that off.
Yeah.
What about savings? Black people should just stop buying Jordans and save their money. And if they did that, if they saved all their money and were better savers, they could close the racial wealth gap.
Right. So if Black people weren't so attracted to bling, we'd eliminate the racial wealth gap. Well, the evidence suggests that that's not true either. If anything, if we were to take into account the income of the household, Black households save as much as white households. And in fact, in some income categories, Black households actually have a higher savings rate than white households.
So if the actual facts don't back up this notion that Black people just need to change our behavior and we could eliminate the wealth gap between Black and white Americans, why are these myths so persistent?
Well, I think part of it is ignorance. I think that people have misperceptions about a number of things, and some of these misperceptions are about American history.
Does marriage close the racial wealth gap?
And no, it doesn't. There's nothing that does. I think the point being, as she points out, is there's nothing that we can do to close. It was stated some time ago that I heard that it is so wide. That if Caucasians were frozen at the point they are now, and we would begin to incrementally begin to come up and up, it would take over 200 years for that would happen. Even if they were frozen, Caucasians make more high school damn dropouts than we do with a college degree. This is not ours. It is theirs, and it is theirs for their benefit.
but we don't understand. See, the problem happens, family, is that we live in a land of individualism. Europeans love individualism. This society is about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. Rescue me if I'm wrong. Individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. There are more people in prison in this country, in the land of the free, the home of the brave, than any other country on the planet. United States, the number one country for incarceration. Listen, I'm going to take a break before I blow a gasket. No, I'm just kidding. You know I ain't going to do that. But sometimes you feel passionate about an issue and you put emphasis on it. You put emphasis on it. That's right. So I'm going to take a break. We come back from the break. I want you to give us a call. Give us your African perspective on issues that are happening. And then, you as listeners, I appreciate y'all. Love y'all. Y'all send me so much. A lot of times I think I need to do this once a week. What listeners send, because it's constant and it's beautiful. Appreciate it so much. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Well, welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the